Blog Talk Radio.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I saw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We're tired of that, corporations hiring black. Denying the fact, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's CeeLo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Happy to be able to broadcast live. The beautiful, bold radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. As always about this time, we come to you with the truth hour. Straight no chaser, straight to the point, straight down the line. No cut on it, no spin on it, none of that. Straight, unadulterated truth, as told from the position and platform of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And I want to send you greetings from our National Central Committee, all of our chapters, all of our members, everybody. If it's your first time listening, it's second time, or you've been listening the whole time, good to be here with you. I want to send you greetings of peace, whether you use Assalamu Alaikum, Hotep, Shalom, Shalom. whatever you say, if you just say peace to the God or peace to the earth or just peace in general, what's up? It's Black Power Radio. It's Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, on that dial, on that clock on the wall or on your wrist. And I ain't got to tell you. I don't even have to tell you. It is kicking off out here in the world. Man, let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you. It's kicking off. And we want to say, first of all, first and foremost, we give honor to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, the one God who answers to many different names and is called on by many different names. In some parts of the world, in southern Africa, they say Kulu Kulu. In other parts, they say Yemenya. In other parts, they say Obachula. In other parts, they say Oshun or Ogun. They say Asa, feminine Aset. They say Oladumare. They say Babalu Aye. Some parts, they say Allah or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other parts, they stick one finger up in the air and just give praise and thanks to the one God. Some people just say Lord God Almighty. Whatever name that you use, we honor them all, and all African spiritualities are welcome in their purest form here, and we give thanks, and we call on all of them names, especially in this hour. We give thanks to all of our ancestors, those who we sprang from as an African people, an original people, the mothers and fathers of civilization, the builders and the architects of the sciences, mathematics, technology, alchemy, those who taught proper handling of food and cooking, those who talked about being good to your mother and being good to your father and raising your children, those who had original governments, original colleges, Timbuktu and others, those who had original laws and those who had original statutes like the laws of Maat, which later became the Ten Commandments, and others. We give thanks to our ancestors, the African man, the African woman, the original man and original woman, the first people on the planet. We give thanks for those who, when taken on a westerly course and put on them slave ships, sold out by some early versions of some Sambos. You know, we got some today. We give thanks to them. When they were put on that slave ship and sent on a westerly course, that they remain resolute, remain firm, and that they continue to hold to their practice and hold to the culture and hold to their folkways and forays and norms, and those that fought back and resisted under severe trial and severe pressure, we give thanks for them. We give thanks for those that came here from the shores of Jamestown, Virginia, and those who before they got there was all in the Caribbean. Stripped of their name, stripped of their language, stripped of their culture, their folkways, forays, norms, and robbed the power of their own being. We're thankful for those. We're thankful for those who were the freedom fighters of that day. We give thanks for the great Reverend and Prophet Nat Turner. We give thanks to the great Denmark Vesey. We give thanks to the great Toussaint Louverture. We give thanks to the great Dessalines and on and on and on, Sister Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, and the Ida B. Wells. We give thanks for all of them. Of course, we give thanks to the great freedom fighters like Robert F. Williams. And we give thanks to the Deacons for Defense. We give thanks to a man who just celebrated his birthday yesterday, a birth anniversary, for the Honorable Marcus Josiah Garvey and the UNIA, the United Negro Improvement Association. We give thanks for him and his work, and the great work of the Honorable Marcus Josiah Garvey. That must continue in today's time. Give a great thanks to the Morris Science Temple of America and the great Noble Drew Ali and his great work of reformation that must continue in today's time. Give thanks to the great Nation of Islam, founded by a man named called Master Farad Muhammad, who taught a little Georgia-born black man, raised him up, later to be known as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then raised up great students like the great warrior Minister Malcolm X, raised up other greats. You heard from him yesterday, like that great minister, the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan, and so many others that came from the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Ali, and so many greats. We give thanks for them. We give thanks for those who, after the Minister Malcolm X was physically taken from amongst the people, who carried on in his name. We give thanks for those who organized, like the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, and our brother and champion who worked to clean up black people on the west side of Atlanta, Georgia, west side of Georgia, formerly known as H-Rap Brown, or they call him Rap Brown, now known as Imam Jamil Alameen. We say free all political prisoners wherever they are. We give thanks for him, and thanks for them. Thanks for SNCC. Thanks for those. Thanks for the foundation that they laid in the Lowndes County Freedom Organization, the original Black Panther Party, 1963-64, and in Lowndes County, Alabama. We give thanks for them and for them teaching black men and women how to organize for political power and political gain and self-defense. We give thanks to brothers who went up to the Bay Area and raised Northern California chapters of the Black Panther Party, early days. Giving thanks to those who went and got with the likes of two college students from Merritt College, who would go before the world and take self-defense before the world against a racist occupation there in Oakland, California. First doing what we did right there in Ferguson County, taking charge of the streets and directing traffic and making sure people don't get hurt and don't get killed. Talking about Huey P. Newton and Brother Bobby Seale and their formation of the Black Panther Party in 1966, giving love to and honors to Little Bobby Hutton, the first treasurer. The Forte brothers and those original members, we give thanks for them. We give thanks to everybody who was a part of that formation, Angela Davis. We give thanks to those who came, like Sister Afeni Shakur, and those who came and maybe even later broke away, but those like Eldridge Cleveland. Got to give thanks for Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. You have to give thanks to Erica and John Huggins. You have to give thanks to the General George Jackson and Jonathan Jackson. Have to give thanks to James Carr. And you got to give you some thank yous. I'm just giving some early thank yous. You have to give some thank yous to those who sacrificed, like Sister Asada Shakur, who we heard is in Cuba. We told she's in Cuba, and wherever she is, we pray that she is safe and know that she is in the right kind of hands. Thankful to the brothers who organized, like Daruba Bin Wahad and Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, and those who went through all manners of hell to fight against the injustices and the criminalization of our people. We give thanks to all of them tonight on Black Power Radio. We understand and realize that Minister Huey P. Newton was assassinated. That's what I said, assassinated right there in Oakland, California in 1989. And so I know that after a series of onslaughts through a program called Counterintelligence, COINTELPRO, under the direction of J. Edgar Hoover, former FBI director, that we understand that the movement was weakened and that many went back into the streets. Went back into the world. Some went into criminality. Some tried to hang on. Huey P. Newton, almost a broken man. Almost a broken man, but still continued to fight. We give thanks for him, even though he was taken from amongst us in 1989. We're thankful that there were some brothers and sisters who wanted to continue the struggle. A man out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who was a OG Black Panther named Michael McGee, who said, with our brothers in Azania, South Africa, say a Luther continua, the struggle continues. And he picked up the banner and went forward to fight on in the struggle. And he began to form what was called the Black Panther Militia. And he linked up with a young producer out of Dallas, Texas, who was a talk show host producer. And they would begin to organize what would be known at that time as the Black Panther Party. They reformed the Black Panther Party. They began to work to re-educate the people and shut down the dope houses and all kind of things that they did in them early days as the membership grew, later to be taken by a couple of OG members who tried to trademark the name for capitalistic gain. And so they placed New in the front of it and became the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And so later, they had a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who was a college student himself out of Louisiana, going to Dillard College and other colleges, an advanced student, a man of advanced learning capability, an honor student, football captain and quarterback, a man who was physically fit and mentally sharp, who heard the teachings from of Elijah Muhammad, from his representative minister, Louis Farrakhan, that woke him up and gave him black awareness. He had already begun to work with the Black Panthers in the earliest days of the National Committee to Combat Fascism. He had already known about the struggle. So he went into the Nation of Islam, began to organize the nation, and later rose through the ranks as a lieutenant, as a captain, then as a minister, and later in the field, regional captain, then later became a national assistant all the way up into supreme captain of the elite fruit of Islam, the military brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam, later to face a suspension and then face an assassination attempt. I'm moving, as Mr. Malcolm said, I'm moving fast to get enough over to you fast, so bear with me. But he was almost taken away from us in Riverside, California, and he survived that. Went through some things within his organization and then had to link up with some brothers who I told you about, called the New Black Panther Party, later to become the chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. I'm talking about a man who was right there with Idi Amin Dada in the jungles fighting against the occupation there before he came back here. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who served with us in the New Black Panther Party from 1997, really before that, but officially as chairman from late 97 until his physical departure in 2001. Picking up that slack will be a black man who you heard from today, who has been all over the place, working himself to the point of exhaustion, working himself to the point of being hoarse. But because he loves our people and loves black people and don't want to see us slaughtered in the streets, and don't want to see us mischaracterized, and don't want to see us maligned and vilified, he's out there organizing with the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and organizing with his group, Black Lawyers for Justice, and organizing with the Nation of Islam, organizing with National Action Network. He's organizing with anybody out there who cares and who's sincere and who wants to see a better day for our people than what's planned ahead. As it looks right now, I'm talking about our chairman emeritus, the attorney at war, attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. And many of you understand that his last term as chairman was last year, November of 2013. And so he had to pass the torch. He passed the torch on to a black man who was working hard on the scene, who also was trained by the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, as his national assistant. And then later, his national chief of staff. You see him all the time when you look at them tapes at the Black Holocaust Conference. You see him right there with Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad holding the line. He was another who was involved when Dr. Khalid Muhammad was almost assassinated. He was right there protecting his life. Took a bullet himself. He was right there, and he's right here today as your chairman and my chairman. Who you heard him, seen him take over the press conference from the Ferguson police thief, I mean chief. You heard him take over the press conference and speak that real, that there should be a focus on what's happening for the black man and black woman here in the hills and smells of North America. While we're talking about all these other continents and countries and what must be done for them, he said there must be something done for the black man and black woman and people of color here in North America. I'm talking about our national chairman, the General Hashim Nzinga. With that introduction, I welcome you straight up to Black Power Radio. And I really don't have a lot of time to play because we are in a most critical hour and a most serious hour. We have all kinds of people that's on the line listening As the great minister Malcolm X said, we have some friends and we have some enemies. We've got some loved ones and we've got some hated ones. Everybody wants to know what the new Black Panther Party position is on this crisis in St. Louis or in Ferguson. They want to know how we feel, what we feel about what we're calling an assassination, a slaying of Brother Michael Brown. They want to know what is the expected outcome, what is the expected result, what is the motive and purpose, why are you all there in Ferguson? Well, brothers and sisters and even enemies, it's very clear that this is a very, very serious subject. This is not just some average shooting, some average killing, some average tussle. This is something different. There is something different in the air about what's going on here, as I cannot recall a time where a person was killed in the manner that Michael Brown was killed and his body just laid out on the ground for hours, just dead, permeating in its own blood, laid out for the people to see in the neighborhood as if he's being put before the world and displayed as an example. I cannot recall the time except for earlier times where our people would be hung and the bodies would be displayed and the body parts would be displayed. The only time I can remember in my head where this type of display has happened, I can recall the scenes of our people protesting and demonstrating just to go to school and fighting at that time in the early days to be integrated into the infrastructure of white America. I can remember the times seeing, as you know, Michael Jackson, may he rest in peace, say, remember the time. I can remember the times where I would see the pictures of National Guard and I would see the antagonisms of white people in America calling black people names and snatching American flags from them and all of that. That's about as close as it gets as you can relate it. Now, though, nothing has really changed so much as with the black man and black women. We're still being antagonized in 2014. We still cannot appropriately walk from the corner store to your home. Same situation as Trayvon Martin. I'm leery now of young black males in particular going to corner stores and being sent to the store, because now in 2014 it's as if you send them to the store and you send them to their death, or you send them and see them for their last time when they're just going to get Skittles or Arizona tea, or in this case allegedly a cigarillo or a cigar. I don't even believe he stole the cigar, but even if he did, we'll talk about that later. Going to the corner store, or in the case of young Jordan Davis, just playing his music, simply playing his music, and lose his life. These are things that we must discuss on Black Power Radio. The state of emergency for the black man and black woman in the hills of North America and throughout the world. It's not an average time. Not an average time where you can just go to the store and get a tea and can't make it back. It's not an average time where you're on the corner, as they say, allegedly selling Lucy's, which we were informed he broke up a fight. But in the case of Eric Garner, where if you were selling loose cigarettes on the sidewalk and the Gestapo's come and choke you out and take you out, and then the medics lie and cover up the case and cover up the story. See, there's some wicked stuff happening out here. the black men and black women all over the planet, all over this country, and all over the planet. And it's funny that people treat us like we are living in some kind of illusion, like we don't know what in the hell we're really talking about, like we don't know what in the hell we're witnessing, like we just going to flip on a light and this not be the real reality. I am here to wake you up, white America, black people in America, brown people in America, yellow people in America. The new Black Panther Party is here to tell you that this is a real living reality for black men and black women here in North America, in a land that's creed is land of the free and home of the brave. We, in 2014, say that it's land of the blind and home of the slaves. When you look at Ferguson and see police everywhere as we see police everywhere, with no emotion, no care, no concern, just force and enforcement, just a show of power, a show of arms, a show of military might, now with SWAT teams and soldiers and tear gas and fat rubber bullets and all that that's on the ground. You can't tell me that we're living in the home of the free, where peaceful protesters are just exercising what they were told, not what they told you, but what they were told was their constitutional right to assemble, their constitutional right to freedom of speech, their constitutional right to expression. Peaceful protesters, demonstrators, fired on, tear gas, people with asthma, respiratory illnesses, sicknesses, respiratory issues, choking, gagging, babies out there in the crowd, elders out there in the crowd, pastors out there and clergy out there in the crowd, women out there, children out there, men out there, fired on. That didn't even matter. Makes no difference. People, and there's even video out there. People who were standing in their yards, not even a part of the demonstrations, and they were fired on. What is to become of this? How do you answer for this? How do you say it's the land of the free, but yet when people peacefully assemble, they're tear gassed out of the area where you say it's public property, where the taxpayers are paying their money? The monies that come out of their checks and things that they're taxed for, they're paying for it, but they can't stand on it because you say so. And the result is tear gas and rubber bullets. Some have even been physically shot by, they say, unknown assailants. They say some white people in a ski mask shot a black woman, they say, allegedly. All kinds of provocateurs activities happening, people just in the crowd, just to start up funk and madness, just to get people riled up and get them rowdy. That is not the best thing to do. I say be aware of that, be alert of that, and avoid that at all costs. Don't be out there. Don't be out there violating the law and going beyond the means. Don't do things to put yourself in a compromising position. There must be a separation between those who are peacefully assembling and those who are peacefully demonstrating and those who are just there for some other stuff. Got to be a separation, because the media would have you believe, just like the media of yesterday, that black people are savages. We don't know how to act once we all get together. But don't you know, and do you know, that it's just a small handful? They tell us that it's people from other cities, even. that are coming in and doing things that the residents of Ferguson and Black Ferguson wouldn't do. Those that are out there just to do specific things, and there must be a separation. Now, we understand that people are frustrated, people are angry, and people are upset, but there has to be a way to express your frustration without getting the rest of the protesters and demonstrators in jeopardy and causing jeopardy for those who are just there to get justice for Michael Brown. We got to talk tonight, because this is a sign of a larger situation. Number one, Black people are tired of being dogged out and shot down in the streets. Point number seven of the new Black Panther program tells you we want an immediate end to the murder of Black people. An immediate end. Anytime, whether it's done by us or done by our historical killers, we want it ended. And this ain't no time to be arguing. Black on black violence, and we do it to ourselves. We understand that. But historically, we have not been our own killers, and historically, we are not the ones who take an oath to serve and protect. See, there's difference there. When Black people kill each other over ignorance or impoverished means for poverty reasons, or somebody did somebody wrong, versus an oath of office which is taken to serve and protect, which has now become seize and execute. See, we got to talk, because again, all of this is covered with tax dollars and taxation. All of this is covered with finance that we're paying for people to choke us out in the streets, paying for people to shoot us down in the streets, paying for people to beat us and maim us and tase us and incarcerate us. Emblematic and symblematic of a larger issue. Now, what is our position? We completely do not agree with the way a young 18-year-old Michael Brown lost his life. We say that he should have been able to start college on that Monday, as he was scheduled to do. Scheduled to start college and get into his field, the field of his choice. He should have been able to do that. And even if it was true, which I, again, I'm speaking personally, don't believe that it is. I don't believe it's him in the video. That's just me. Got to show me something a little better than that. This newly released video just don't seem right to me. Don't seem like it's him, but even if it is, and even if he did it, what part of taking a cigar, something $1.25 or so, what part of that warrants multiple shots to take this young man's life like that? What part of that? They say, well, there was a tussle in the car, and there was this and there was that. You don't know what in the hell happened. How many times have we seen these kind of stories? And people are covering for each other. Police covering for each other because of an oath and an honor code and honor system. We don't know what in the hell happened. But the people on the ground seen it. Everybody who say they witnessed it, their stories are pretty much the same. And they saying that young Michael Brown was walking down the street and was told to get the F up on the sidewalk. Now, for those of you who haven't been to the Canfield Apartments, you don't know. Those roadways are not that big. It's not some big thoroughway. It ain't some big road to go through. Not that big. So, you know, it's normal for people to be out there. If you've been in any kind of situation or apartments like that, to be walking on the street. That's normal. So he was told, for us, allegedly, get the F up on the sidewalk and allegedly grab through the door, they say, off the ground. It's off the ground report right now. Grab through the door. And Mike Brown responded instinctively and, you know, jerked away. Get off me. felt like he was being attacked, which he was. And from that point, takes off to try to defend himself, to get away. And allegedly, he's fired on, hit, turns around, put his hands up and says, allegedly, I'm unarmed, don't shoot. And then he shot down several more times, according to what was told. Now, we'll see what their side is. I'm just reporting, as a journalist should, CNN and Fox and MSNBC and everybody else, reporting like a journalist should. What is being told to me and what's being told to us and others, what we're seeing and what we're hearing from the ground. And it's your job to report that other side. But we were told straight up, and reporters in the field were told straight up, that he was in a surrender mode. And in a surrender mode, in a non-combative mode, he was shot down like a dog in the streets. That there was an argument between the officers who were on the scene, the responding officers there, this Brian Wilson and this other, was arguing between themselves allegedly of what to do when the body was laid out there and left out there. So they figured out what to do. Now you tell me if that's the case. Tell me how we are supposed to feel protected and safe and all of this. When we're paying our tax dollars, and paying our monies, and paying your salary. But this is the result that we get. And so now as we talk and the private autopsy comes out, the private autopsy in the corner there count at least 6 bullets. Fired. I didn't say only 6, at least 6 that Mike Brown received. And the fatal one that took his life in the back of the head. So you tell me, y'all got to tell me, how are we supposed to feel? And you know, some of the critics out there say, you know, Brother Qualley, you make it a race thing. It's always about a race thing. And I'm saying, hell, if this type of situation happened in other cultures, show it to me. Show me where it happens at in the white community. Show where it happens at to me in the Chicano community. Show me where it happens at in the Asian community. And then I can sympathize. I can have points of understanding with you. As a man, I can have points of understanding with you because you have experienced the same thing as me and my people are experiencing. But I don't see that happening in the white community. I don't see that happening in the Chicano community. I don't see that happening in the Asian community. I don't see that happening even in the Indian community. I see that happening in the black community. So when you tell me it's a race card being played, or we're racist for being concerned about our people and concerned about what's happening to the course of our family members and loved ones and communal partners. That's just what it gotta be if that's how you feel. It's not that, but that's just what it gotta be. Because I cannot stop being concerned about my people, and you can't stop being concerned about our people. Too much talent, too much beauty, too much greatness, too much history to watch our entire generation and the next generation be victimized and criminalized, be incarcerated. How can a city like Ferguson be 63% black and only have 3 black men on the police force? Something is wrong with that. All these councilmen, only a sprinkle here and there of black. Police chief, white. Yeah, white, everybody. The whole thing just lily white with a few sprinkles of chocolate here and there. Then they trot out some old captain, some old Samboy-ass captain, Captain Ron Johnson, I believe his name. Just trot his ass on out there like he did a damn thing. I'm here to tell the world. It was not the Ferguson Police Department. It wasn't St. Louis County Police Department. that kept peace tonight, that there was peace out there. After all them nights of violence, all them nights of clashes that they had with the demonstrators between the SWAT team, riot police, and all that. No, it was the new Black Panther Party out there. Just like Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, and just like Bobby Hutton and the Forte brothers started out early in Oakland when they didn't have a traffic light and young black kids, pardon me, children were being hit by cars. And them Panthers, some of y'all seen this in the movie, them Panthers acted like they owned stoplight and they played traffic guard and made sure people could cross safely. And made sure that the traffic flowed properly. The new Black Panther Party did that in 2014 in Ferguson, Missouri. That wasn't in the media. Very, very, very small. Just very small. A little bit came out today. I think CNN mentioned it. After slandering me and dragging me and us all through the mud, and you had to come back and mention the good. We did that. Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zalusha Barnes did that. Some of the members of the Nation of Islam and the Fruit of Islam did that. Some members of the Morris Science Temple of America did that. We worked together. And that's what the fear is. While the rest of some of you are interested in beefing with one another and talking about one another and running up one another and outshining one another, you got to start talking about working together in this hour, because it don't matter what your label is. I don't care nothing about your label, because didn't nobody ask what religion or what political affiliation or what organization Mike Brown belonged to. That young boy was profiled out there. Profiled just like Trayvon Martin. He was profiled just like Jordan Davis. He was profiled like Sean Bell. Profiled, I'd even say, like Oscar Grant. Profiled. You got to start talking about and doing what's called black unity, working together, putting your differences to the side, and working together for the common good of our people. That's what kept that peace out there. The nights that we were not out there, that's when you had more clashes. I'm just here to tell you, that damn police captain tried to take the credit for it at the press conference. No good bastard tried to take credit for it. And if it wasn't for the heart of Attorney Shabazz and those that were in there who challenged him live as he was being interviewed, he had to come out and say, well, that's true. They did help to maintain the calm. He didn't want to say it. He fumbled and stumbled and tried to find a way to mix it and fix it and make you believe that he had something to do with it. They had something. You didn't have a damn thing to do with it. You wasn't nowhere around. You walked through the damn crowd with a camera following you, taking a photo op, like a Photoshop, taking a photo op. Wasn't nowhere around. You pulled your troops back because Black Lawyers for Justice and the new Black Panther Party had successfully delivered a cease and desist order to cease and desist firing on peaceful protesters and demonstrators who were exercising their constitutional rights. Freedom of speech, successfully delivered to the chief of police and the mayor, a cease and desist order. So you pulled your troops out. You didn't have any police there controlling the crowd like normal. You didn't have them doing the traffic like you was the days before. They were off to the side. We did that as a community. And I'm not taking the credit. We're not taking the credit. The people did that. They were the ones who kept things in line. We kept things organized. We worked together. And the moment that we were not there, all hell breaks loose and people who were sent in to cause disruption. Some have reported that it's some cats out of the West Coast, some other organizations out the West Coast who were doing some provocateurish things and all this. Then all of a sudden, you got all this clash coming on, all this antagonism coming on. And now there's a need for the National Guard, who they said wouldn't be anywhere seen at all, but you can see them plain as day on rooftops and everywhere else. What am I telling you? I'm telling you just what Dead Prayer said in the intro of this show. that you have entered into the police state. It's not to come, you're in the police state. Now, I know some of you are not there in Ferguson and you think that this doesn't affect you, but if it happens one place, it happens another place. All it takes is the right incident, take the right situation. Once you introduce it one place, you can introduce it another place. It's a police state where your rights and civil liberties are all being eroded. They're all being eroded. Hell, but shit, we've been, pardon my language, we've been slaves in this barrel for a long time, any damn way. Black people ain't had nothing to begin with. We know how to make something out of nothing all the time, most of us. But see, now the problem is white people are feeling that. Caucasians now are being treated like the blacks are now. That's just the real. Didn't hear a peep out of some of them out there until some of them white journalists got smacked around out there, slammed around out there, got smacked around out there, got arrested. Then all of a sudden, now, let's restore order. Let's restore peace. But as long as it was them so-called gangbangers, long as it was them so-called Negroes and them niggas and all them over there, wasn't no big deal. Who are they? I'm telling you what I seen. I'm telling you what we experienced. Seeing people who didn't violate the law, who followed instruction, who did what they were supposed to do, as protesters and demonstrators who are only interested in finding out what happened to Michael Brown, right or wrong. And they were fired on with rubber bullets and fired on tear gas, advanced on by riot police in riot form, and had to do what they had to do to make it out the situation. You tell me how we supposed to feel. You tell me that for you listening to find out what I'ma say. You tell me how us peacefully protesting and keeping the peace has been reported by CNN and reported by Riverfront News and others, how that is somehow violent. Get the hell out of here with that craziness. I don't have time for your foolishness. We have a right to peacefully protest and a right to demonstrate and a right to organize. We give respect to the efforts of those who came in. We're thankful for those, even like Al Sharpton, and thankful for Dick Gregory and whoever came in. We're thankful for that. But it's not time for a camera opportunity. Something happened to this young man, and something is happening to young black men and women all over this country. Now, one thing that we have to consider here, we will have to consider having community control of those who police us. The Panthers talked about it. The Black Panther Party talked about it 40-some years ago. And we must talk about it again in 2014. We must talk about policing review boards. We must talk about and organize, not just talk about. We must talk to the issues of having boards that control those who are able to police us in our neighborhoods. We must push for those who police us to live in the neighborhoods that they're policing. See, now you're talking about something. See, now you're talking about communal relations and communal relationships. You must push and we must push to have some form of community control so that we are not under the occupation of what feels like foreign troops. You got to talk about this. We have to take charge of our post, take charge of our neighborhoods, our communities, take charge. You got to be taking some charge or this thing will not get any better at all. Those who are already rich and those who could give a damn about you and give a damn about me, they got what they need. They don't care how this thing turns out. I say to our brother Nelly from St. Louis, you got to do more than a damn scholarship. You got to do more than a damn scholarship, Nelly, if you're going to be considered serious in this hour. Hell with a scholarship. Use that money and use that influence to press the case of correct policing, citizen review board, community control, neighborhood watch. justice in the interest of Michael Brown and black men and women, victims of police brutality and police misconduct. Do that, Nelly. Talking about a damn scholarship fund. The hell with a scholarship fund when a young black male can't even make it to college on the time he's supposed to get there. He was supposed to be there talking about Michael Brown that Monday. But that Monday he was sitting in a morgue somewhere ice cold. Y'all should have seen the look on his mother's face. I got to see his mom, see his dad. The pain of this black woman who is trying her best to be strong and her best to be resolute, but the pain carried of this black woman who brought this young man into the world with great expectations of him and worked hard to keep him on the right path, keep him out of trouble, keep him in school to graduate, and then make it into a college-level academia to go forward in what we're always taught is the way that you should do it in America, they say. But he's ice cold in the cemetery. He's in the morgue, headed to the cemetery, being dressed for the funeral because somebody decided that his life means nothing. And some bodies have decided that black life means nothing in America. God damn it, we built the whole damn country. You no good bastards, we built this country. Free labor people built it on. Under toil and sweat and turmoil. Nursed your babies. Caucasians who are listening, you listen to this good. Black women nursed you. Put you on their breast. Rocked your ass to sleep. Talk to you sometime because sometime your own early foremothers didn't want nothing to do with you. Or fathers didn't want nothing to do with you. Black women did that. Black women was combing the hair. The black man out there working and making it happen. Sometime the black woman too. Out there doing the railways, out there in the steel mill, out there working in the coal mines and the industrial jobs. Damn it, we built the damn country. And after building the country, have received nothing but hard times, nakedness, out of doors, police brutality, striving to make a dollar out of 15 cents. And it don't make no damn sense. But you got a people who built the whole country, but yet in 2014, we're still talking about we shall overcome. And hands up, don't shoot. But our tax dollars pay for this. That's why the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, New Black Panther Party, taught you and teaches you that separation is the best and only solution. You're going to make it out this situation. We're going to make it out this situation. We must push the issue amongst ourselves of separation. We must have, just like the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey taught, some of this good earth to call our own. Must begin to build your own infrastructure with banks and schools. You must begin to get into black economics. You must begin to get into agriculture. You must and we must begin to get into black medicine and black health like Emotech. You got to get into your own stuff. Because you've been cut off. You're not needed anymore. Every job that you could possibly do now, damn near, is being done. It could be done by machines and robots now. Don't need you anymore. The country, the corporation is built. So you got all these people who are here, the descendants of African slaves, who now, in the eyes of many, are in the way. And so now they do what was done before with experiments like the Tuskegee experiment. You got this Ebola threat and all this stuff that's happening in the world today, and it's not by accident. But I'm here to tell you, white people, and I'm here to tell you, everybody else, that if you see it happening to black people, know that it will happen to you too. That's what the fear is. Understand that it's an equal opportunity here. You see it happening to us, Because my people are deaf, dumb, and blind, and dead to the knowledge of themselves. They've been robbed of a knowledge of self. And so we find ourselves in the dumbest situation. But it will happen to you too. Because many of you poor whites are in the way too. Many of you poor Chicanos are in the way too. Many of you poor Asians are in the way too. So I wouldn't be so quick to clap and applaud and say, well, yay, it's what should have happened to him. And then, y'all, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. Because what you see near will soon be right at your door. I tell all my people listening, as we prepare to bring on our national chairman and go forward, and also take your calls. The number to call tonight, 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447, to touch on this heavy topic, the destruction of African civilization in service. Heavy topic. As we prepare to bring on our national chairman, I must say to my people, prepare wherever you are. In the world, prepared with water and food and clothing and survival gear and anything that you need to get through hard times. Because it's not going to be a comfortable time if things advance the way they're looking to advance and this handwriting is on the wall like it is. It's not going to be so comfortable. And we all must get ready and we all must do our best to try to walk the straight path or the straight and narrow, using the laws of my art, being good to others and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you in righteousness and good deeds. I must tell you that, my people, you have victory in the truth. You have victory in being right. You don't have victory in doing something criminal and then allowing some rabid racist cop to come and brutalize you and doing something. You don't have victory in that. No victory in that. You have victory in doing what's right. Victory in staying focused on the goals of advancement. Victory in staying focused on the goals of accomplishment. Victory in staying focused on raising your babies, raising your family, keeping them secure, teaching them right, guiding them right, keeping them healthy, keeping them strong, unlocking the chains on their brain. You have victory in that. And you must and I must and we must secure that kind of victory. It is a victory in sight, but it will not be easy. It will not be something that's just handed to you. It will not be something that you can just gallop to. We got to take these times very serious. I understand it was another person killed out in California. They say it was allegedly mentally had some mental issues, allegedly. But I'm just here to tell you this. You know, I forget to get the guy's name now. But you remember the Caucasian man who went into the theater in Colorado and allegedly shot up all them people in Colorado. And they say he came out with his weapon. And he is alive to stand trial and take psychiatric evaluation and have attorneys plead on his behalf and plead for him. Michael Brown, unarmed, no weapon, allegedly coming from this Quick Trip store, which is a local convenience store, gas station, walking down the street, 30-plus miles down the street, and he's ran out for him by this cop. And told to get the F up on the sidewalk, and now he's a dead man. You tell me this is some kind of fantasy and what we're seeing ain't real. You tell me that. I want you to call in and tell me that. We got something to tell you on that. Not a fantasy. Our babies, our teens, our people are murdered in the streets daily, all the time. By those who our tax dollars are paying to keep in power. It's a hell of a trap we're living in. It's a hell of a trap we're living in. But there are ways, and there have to be ways, to get out the trap. And we must talk about ways on getting out the trap. You also must talk about, now some of you are interested in doing boycotts. I want to hear your thoughts on boycotts and economic strangleholds. And some of you are interested in making other moves. I want to hear what your moves are. What are the progressive steps here to answer these issues so that we do not have to keep repeating these same funeral statistics over and over again? We'll get to black-on-black crime, because there's an answer to black-on-black crime. But I'm here to tell you that even black-on-black crime is tied to the state violence or state systematic violence of our people, violence put on our people. It's tied to it. We'll talk about that another day. But I want to hear your solutions. I want to hear how you feel. I want to hear what you see. If you're there in St. Louis with us, if you're there, if you're here with us, and you know, you want to state what you saw and how you feel about it, talk about it. This is Black Power Radio. We'll take some calls here now until our master chairman hit the line. Right now, 901. He's due to be on, but until he make it on, I'm going to take your calls right now. We can't waste any time at all. We'll start with the first caller here, area code 347-596. 347-596. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Your host, Sean Quali. Talk to me. Welcome, Black Power. Caller 347-596. Your mic is open. Got a question or comment? We'll move forward. They might be listening. Next caller here, area code 347-768. 347-768. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the destruction of African civilization in Ferguson. Your thoughts, your comments. Welcome, Black Power.
How you doing? Hello?
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Brother Mike.
What's your thoughts?
Out in Brooklyn and Elijah. And
yes, sir.
And not just
right here.
Like from young, I see these black brothers. They just grew up with just hatred and violence in their heart, and they think they gotta stand for themselves, and they're on their own. But like, you gotta get them to see that there's different ways, because they raised in an environment where everybody's for themselves. So you gotta show these brothers how to unite and stop bringing each other down. Like my friend was just telling me earlier today, she was moving to his apartment, but these brothers out there shooting each other and doing these things like that. So we gotta
definitely
youth and get them to change their mentality little by little.
That's a very, very good, very, very good solution. And I would stay still with that, because we understand, my brother, that the mentality that most of our youth have today, it's a learned behavior. It's a taught behavior. It's programmed into them. Most of the youth today watch videos, movies, television series. You know, they're listening to certain types of music. There's Minister Farquhar taught on it yesterday. There's a heavy push in this drill music that's talking about the glorification of crime and drugs and disrespect of the women. And so that type of program is being put into the minds of the young. And so we already understand that many of our homes are fatherless or they are broken homes. Some are motherless, broken homes. Crack cocaine, the crack era destroyed, many of our greats from the middle 80s on up to today. You know what I mean? Now it's heroin and other things. So there's many attributing factors, is what I'm saying, to why the young feel the way that they feel and why they act the way that they act. But even in saying that, what part of that, my question to you, sir, what part of that warrants going to the corner store, as in the case of Trayvon Martin, or in the case of Michael Brown, and it coming out the corner store and losing your life?
See, I was actually in Florida. I'm in New York now, but I was actually in Florida when that happened.
Okay. Oh, his call dropped. Man, I wanted to hear what. Hey, if you can hear me, you call back in. We're going to get you back in because you got to finish your statement. We'll go to the next caller here. We got to get him back in. Area code 504-432-504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your host, Sean Saddam Kweli, Destruction of African Civilization in Ferguson. Your thoughts, your comments, please. Welcome, Black Power. All right, 504-432, your mic's open.
Yeah, Brother Sean, you can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother Sean. Okay, yeah, Brother Sean, hey. Yeah. I'm going to say this, Brother Sean. The black family is up is a threat. Despite all of that, we are a threat. White supremacy is here to stay. They don't want us to. They just, like Public Enemy said, it's a fear of a black planet. So they got to come up with all these different schemes and stuff to knock us out. They did that with Planned Parenthood. They did that with these drugs and stuff. No matter what they do to us, even though we act crazy and stuff like Dillaround, we like cockroaches. You can't get rid of us.
Yeah,
like cockroaches.
Kind of
you kill one, three, four of them come up. But all that was part of the plan. Many people don't understand that white supremacy is here to stay. That all that was part of the plan. Okay, we can't make no more money off of them in slavery time, so we're going to cut. Okay, so we can't make no more money, so we got to find ways to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's what I think, too, brother.
I think
the same thing, obviously that, you know, there is a systematic effort to, you know, especially remove the young black male in particular. And capture the black female if possible, but you know, like you say, we've been through a lot as a people. But I mean, I'm looking at history, Brother Harold. I'm saying, if those who don't learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it, what
yeah.
lessons are we supposed to learn from our people who went through similar circumstances in the past? Because you have to remember, during the days of Bull Connor and all of that our people went through the same thing, dealing with National Guard and dealing with troops on the street and antagonistic people, you know. So our people have been here before, is what I'm saying to you. But what lessons should we learn from that scenario that we can draw forth and bring forth into today's time?
I don't mean to cut you off, Brother Sean, but the lessons that we can learn, see, like the people that's in their 40s, 50s, 60s, a lot of them, they systemized, they caught up into the system. But what it's going to take, is going to take for those who are have a conscious mind, they know what's going on, we share this knowledge. See, like many of our parents that came up through the Black Power movement, many of them are dying out. Many of them, you know, they got sick and tired, don't want to do the work no more. So it's up to people like me and you, the knowledge that we have, to go and reach these younger people. Because remember, if you look at that movie, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, the brother who was a CIA agent, and he was learning from the CIA, but then he came into his community to educate the people. But those people that he was educating, they were the young. Because, see, the old ones, that's mm-hmm. all the chance that we do have. We got to reach the young. We can't deal with the older people because they gone, the minds.
That's heavy. That's a heavy, heavy point. The future in the hands of the young. Brother Harold, thank you so much. I got to take the next call.
All right, brother.
All right, Black Power and Soul Power
Black
to
power,
you.
All
that's,
power
that's
to black
heavy,
people.
All power to our people. That's a heavy, heavy point. Next caller here, area code. Make sure our chairman is not on before I come forward. Next caller here, area code is 202-706-202-706. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the destruction of African civilization. Your thoughts, your question, your comment, please. Welcome, Black Power.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Black power to the black nation. This is Imam Akbar, the National Minister of Justice. And in an hour of justice for black men, women, and children, we find that they're willing to go with full aggression against the black man, woman, and child, even to the point of firing on babies, as he said, with the tear gas, having no regard for the life of black people. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the white man wants to beat and to kill you, and this is all that he wants to do with me and you. And in this hour, the truth has been manifested through the reality in which we now live, and the judgment to come, and the judgment in which we now live. In this hour, we bear witness. The white man is not a devil, but the devil. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who built up much of what you see today as the Nation of Islam, who built up much of what you see in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, and I put emphasis again as he would put emphasis on self-defense. We have given the microphone to the knuckleheaded Negroes far too long. In this hour, you must give it to a man of integrity, of intelligence, a man with vision. My strong suggestion is to track down the Honorable Dr. Our good attorney at war, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Give him the legal end of that microphone. Don't leave a case until you run that case past the Honorable Doctor and the surgeon that's at war on the ground in St. Louis, the Honorable Doctor, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Track down the Negro should say, Assalamu alaikum, and pass the goddamn microphone to someone who can articulate. Track down the Dean of Ministers, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Don't shorten this play in this hour, brother and sister. Give it to the man of integrity. Give it to one who will bring the vision. Give it to one who will check the opposition in this hour. Damn it, you can't find anybody. Give it to Hashim Nzinga, a man who can articulate the hour and the time through the vision of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Give it to your man that's on the radio in every hour, Dr. Sean Qualley, who has qualified himself as a doctor doing a delicate surgery on the ground in both St. Louis and in Louisville, Kentucky, around the nation and around the world. Sean Qualley, who comes to you every week sacrificing. All of you want the benefits of sacrifice, but very few of you want to actually sacrifice. You just want the benefits. Well, here's a man who sacrificed from his family, sacrificed from his job, and sacrifice to be with you and to bring you Black Power Radio and to bring you Black Brotherhood, Black Sisterhood, Black Nationhood, Black Father, Mother, and Brotherhood. A man like Sean Qualley is rare, but you need to give him that goddamn microphone when it comes to articulating the issues and situations for black people. Track down your Minister of Justice who is on this line. This speaker will bring you the right vision for the hour, who will articulate and then position you to deal with the opposition. This is what you must understand, brother and sister. Don't sleep on your golden opportunity to what? Work on the real issues and bring justice in the source of divine justice for black people. Don't sleep in this hour, brother and sister. Do as Ezekiel. Continue to tarry. In the valley of the dead dry bones, if you get nothing, continue to tarry. Continue to prophesy. Continue to be vigilant in this hour until you bring up one bone that will move towards the other bone. Another bone, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught you, be a call to goddamn dry bones to speak. And do as it did in the time of the ministry of Mustafa and the ministry of Ezekiel, that he will raise an exceedingly great army who will check the opposition in this hour. Who will raise a great army to check the opposition and defeat the opposition? This is what black power has come to revisit you, black men, through slavery, throughout every challenge imaginable. And those are some unimaginable terrors. The black man, woman, and child has survived, and he has come on victorious. Now, he is the head doctor. She is the head nurse. He is the head over journalism. He is the president of the United States. Another one, president over the Firemen's Association, the policemen that don't let white folks in black in Chicago, Afro Policemen's League. Got a black chief that don't let white folks in. Don't tell us about no racism in the Black Panther Party. when you got all these different organizations and all that, no white folks in the Congressional Black Caucus, God damn it. You don't let no white folks in BIG. They got blacks in government, a whole organization. Staff U.S. approved blacks in government. Don't let no white folks in. Don't let them critique the Black Panther Party. Don't let them critique the Nation of Islam. Don't let them critique any of your black organizations. You don't have nothing to be ashamed of in this hour. Stand up for black power. You jump out the shower, God damn it, you better scream black power like a bad man. Because you saw us blow up on C-SPAN, and we're screaming black on Uncle Sam. Because right now, we just don't give a damn about no Uncle Sam, nor his main man. We thank you for the time to share just a few words with you. We want black power in this hour. We will take nothing short of black power in this hour.
Black power, black power. We appreciate that, brother. Certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much for being National Minister.
Fired up, Kwali. God damn it, fired up. And hold the line for St. Louis. Hold the line for the whole black nationhood, brotherhood, and sisterhood. And hold the line for Africa. Hands off black Africa and hands off the black youth. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum and black power.
All right, wa alaikum salam, black power, black power. Next call here, your area code is 850-405. Make sure our chairman ain't got on yet before I get moving. 850-405, 850-405. You're on live, Black Power Radio. Host Sean Kwali, we're talking about the destruction of African civilization.
Bottom. 850-405,
your mic's open, go right ahead. All right. Next caller calling in from a block number, calling in from a private number. Your mic is open. Go ahead. One last time for the private number. Go ahead. All right. Next area code 917-650. 917-650. You're on live. Black Power Radio. Sean Saddam Kwali. African Destruction in Ferguson. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, brother. How you doing?
Well, all right. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I just want to share some insight with all the black people, you know, right quick. I go by the name of King Tata. And when it comes to African spirituality, man, I mean, I ace it like 100%. I'm going to make this a little bit short because it could be long, but I'm going to make it short as possible. When a brother's dealing with African spirituality, may it be a brother or a sister dealing with African spirituality, that can protect you from the police. That can protect you from the murders. That can protect you when the police come into your house and knocking down your doors and just knocking down everything and whatnot, dealing with African spirituality. If you don't know how to practice it, you can reach out. The brothers can reach out and seek out the people, you know what I'm saying, who do practice it, and they can get that protection and that blessings and whatnot from the ancestors. The main reason why a lot of us have these problems and we struggle and whatnot because we were stripped of African spirituality during slavery. You know what I'm saying? We were stripped of our African names, our African language, our African spirituality, and we was given, you know, Christianity, we was given the Christian names, and we was given everything that was powerless from the Caucasoids. You know what I'm saying? But in order for us to really fight and win this war, like Haiti won that war almost like 100 years ago, when Haiti won the independence from the French, you know what I'm saying? They used African spirituality. And that's how they beat the French. Mm-hmm. It was 12 years there was a war with the French, you know what I'm saying, and they beat the French. They had machetes, and they had the power of the ancestors, and they beat the French, ran the French right up out of there. And to this day, America and everyone is still upset behind that. This is why they stick all them bombs around Haiti and blow Haiti up and talk about, that's because they practice on that devil worship and so on and so forth, and we got to go Christian the land and so on and so forth. All that's propaganda. You know what I'm saying? But if our people begin to practice the African spirituality, they can keep them pigs from up off them. They can protect themselves. They protect their family. The African spirituality, they cure AIDS. They cure HIV. They cure hepatitis C and B and all that other, all those man-made diseases, the herbs and all that type of stuff, can cure all of that. But once we get back in tune with that, we can put up a better fight and we can win. Anything outside of that, we're not going to win. I did a lot of time in jail for murder. I was 17 when I went to jail. I came home when I was 30. I was illiterate when I went to jail. I don't know how to read and write. I would find out that I was African. When I came home, matter of fact, I didn't even come home. I just got paroled to a shelter because my mother passed away. But when I was released, I went to Silver Court, and I told them, Craig, my name is not Toby. My name is Kunta Kinte. So I denounced my forefather's slave master name and inherited my African name due to the fact that I'm a new African, new breed, new generation. So that's what I teach. You know what I'm saying? African spirituality for African people. This is how we fight. This is how we win. I use African spirituality to get out of jail because they wasn't going to let me go. You know what I'm saying? I did 7 years on parole. I never got violated. I finished parole. I've been on parole like 6 years now. I use African spirituality. I'm on parole, so I won't have no problems from the parole officer. You know what I'm saying? So I was manipulating all that. I also write my book right now, I Beat the System, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I'm still working on Volume 1. I'm speaking about all my trials and tribulations, when I grew up, how I grew up, all the things that I went through, how I was able to get around this, how I was getting around that, how I was able to move and, you know, strategically just get around and maneuver. I'm from New York City. I'm from Harlem. You know what I'm saying? I don't live in Harlem right now. I live up in Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to share this to all the brothers and all the sisters who scream black power, because your black power is your ancestors. Your black power is the African spirituality. That is your power. That is your right, your birthright that was stripped of you through slavery. And without that, it's impossible for us to win. You know, I understand a lot of brothers, you know, Muslims and brothers and sisters and Christian, they disagree and so far. But if there's the research and study about African spirituality, where did it come from? How long was it here? Because it came with the people when the people first arrived on the earth. This is us. This is our power. And what pisses me off right now to this day, you have all these white people, these fucking crackers, going to Africa, learning African spirituality, getting initiated, and so on and so forth. And the black people don't even learn about that, because the black people are still lost. They don't even learn about that. They don't even care about that. And a lot of times you bring it up to them, they quickly say, oh, that's that spookism. Oh, that's that spirit shit. Oh, I ain't messing with that. That is yours. You know what I'm saying? It belongs to you. And cracker going over there and getting initiated, and cracker going over there and getting it all and using their advantage. So they use their advantage. That means we're still at the bottom, and they're still going to be on top. They're going to still be rising. Where that leaves us? At the bottom. So African people, must learn about the African spirituality and use it to our advantage. It's how we're going to fight. It's how we're going to win. Toussaint won the fight. That's how Toussaint won the war. And if there's enough of us with our shrines lit up, enough of us, you know what I'm saying, practicing and working with the deity and whatnot, they can't beat us. I don't care what they got, how much tanks they got, how many AR-15s. I don't care about none of that. Because the ancestors is the most powerful. And I work with that daily, 100%. I get down. I still go back and forth to New York. Police do not bother me. Police do not look at me. I am King Tata. I get down. I'm a priest. I get down to Palo Mayombe.
Yes,
and when enough brothers
practice
at Palo Mayombe, when those fucking pigs start getting out of line, you take their fucking names, you take them to the cemetery, and you bury their fucking soul. That's how you start knocking them fucking crackers down. Straight up. That's
all
how
right,
you start
brother.
Knocking them fucking crackers down. You do it spiritually.
All
you
right.
kill their fucking will and kill everything about their fucking asses. You feel me?
All
that's
right.
what we got to do.
Talking
that's what I
get
down.
I gotta get to these next callers, but we appreciate what you're saying, brother.
Okay, no problem.
All right, stay
all
strong.
Right,
Black Power.
Black Power.
Peace. Live from New York, African spirituality. Boy, strong topic there. Next call, your area code is 216-203. You're on live. Black Power Radio talking about the destruction of African civilization in Ferguson. Your thoughts. Your questions, your comments. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power. I just wanted to know, brother, what is there any type of outreach in Ohio? Because I seem to, you know, the mainstream media is very misleading. And, you know, all the reports from live stream, and if you just follow the hashtag on Twitter, Ferguson, the images and the reports that you see about the new party and about brothers, period, and what they're doing on the street is two different things. I mean, tear canisters being fired at them, and they picking them up with their bare hands, no type of protection that's offered, like what the police have down there, throwing them back at the police. And I guess that's what they are calling Molotovs. Because I have yet to see it's a white boy I know, but on Vice News, it's Tim Pool, and he broadcasts every day. And I just have yet to see a Molotov cocktail. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on, like, how to get in touch with somebody in this area.
You talking about in regards to the New Black Panther Party join the organization. Okay.
Yes.
I would just call the national number. You call 347, the area code, 903 347-903-0886. Okay. One more time. That's 347-903-86. You call the national number, and the national team will put you in touch with whoever's there on the ground in Ohio. But
okay,
yeah,
so you said 947, sir. I had to get a pen and paper. I'm sorry. 947.
That's all right. I say 347. 347-903-0886. Again, 347-903-0886. You call that national number, there, no problem. They'll put you in touch. But no, the New Black Panther Party has stayed within the confines of the law and everything that we've done. And so that's, you know, that's why them later reports came out. And we understand there was a smear campaign. Of course, people try to confuse the issue. People have always tried to confuse the issue of what the Black Panther Party was. And, well, it's understandable because you cannot expect mainstream media to paint the New Black Panther Party in the best light. That's our job. You know, that's the people's job. You know, that's people who know what time it is. That's their job. That's not CNN's job. That's not Fox job. That's not, you know what I mean? That's our job.
Yeah.
So I never expect them, Yahoo News, anybody to say any damn thing good about us, period. But then you get the people's report. You get the report from the ground, and then it swallows up the load of propaganda that's spit out there. Like they say in the book of Revelations, how the earth swallowed up the flood. And so, you know, I encourage everybody in the New Black Panther Party to keep the good work going. Whatever you're doing of good, do good. Do good and be good as best as you can. Do good and be good as best as you can. You know, and we'll be all right. So you know, we're gonna be all right, brother. But bottom line is help us there in Ohio. We need so much done in Ohio and the central region. And really all over the country, but help us there in Ohio to build this program, brother. We can move along faster.
Yes, sir. I'll call the number. Thank you, Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Next call here, your Eric code is 678-755, 678-755. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about this situation in Ferguson, Missouri, the death of Michael Brown. What is your thoughts on what has happened to the young brother? What's going on with the current state of affairs? Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power. Policiad of the Bureau of Chapter. I honestly think what we should do is all these Crips and Blood, all those guys that are out there fighting, know how to shoot, we need to really start showing them how to do it and do it right. And we need to start telling Black people to start carrying and getting guns in whatever state that have that. Because it seems like everybody's afraid to have a gun in their hand, but we're constantly getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's
my suggestion.
I think we need to do
well,
mm-hmm. I didn't hear
you. I'm listening, sister. Go. Yeah,
and
finish your thought.
I think that we should build our defense because the same way St. Louis is doing it, I think every state should have that same type of thinking. And every time they do something to us and it's really, really wrong, we should really go out there and fight. Everybody should just fight. Because it can't be just all. There's more of us than them.
Right. Well, that, you know, that's cool. That's, you know, that comes in what I was talking about earlier, which is cooperative unity. You know, you got too many people that's interested in just leading something, and some that want to be seen, and it's time out for that. Now, what I will say about the young brothers and sisters in St. Louis, you know, the so-called gang brothers, the street tribes, is what I'm witnessing is they have a lot of heart, and they like many across the country are not afraid. He's talking about some young, 15, 16, 17, 18 on up that are fearless.
When they're seeing their friends get killed. That's why they're out there fighting, because their peers are getting killed. A lot of Black people, they say, oh, it's not happening to me. They're not worrying about it. But that's not even an issue anymore. They don't even want us over in Africa anymore. They're talking about we can't go over there, can't even get a flight. They don't want us here. I'm like, it's time for us to join together. And if the kids want to fight or whatever, let them do it. Let the older people, they can still do it, let them do it.
I think it's a good sign from what I've seen. I've seen Bloods and Crips come together. People put their beasts to the side to fight for the cause and to fight on behalf of justice for Michael Brown. So if this trend continues around the country, it's very good for black people. And, of course, you understand it's going to definitely alarm a whole lot of other people. So thank you, my sister. I got to take some more calls here.
Okay, thank you. Black power.
All right, black power. Black power to you. Next call here, area code 805-235. 805-235. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about situation in Ferguson, Missouri, the death of Michael Brown, the destruction of African civilization in Ferguson. Talk to me. Welcome, Black Power.
Goda, Pidamia, warrior woman. Peace and love, brother.
Hey, Pidamia, peace and love, Sister Warrior Woman. How are you?
Pretty good. Hanging in there, you know. I just listening to it and seeing the pictures, you know, pissed me off. You know, you could see the white cop beating up the grandmother, you know, and making her head bleed, and she's the grandma. You know, I says, there's people standing around. I would have kicked that white lady in the face, you know, with my foot, because it was disgusting, you know. But it, like they say, every half hour, one of our people gets shot. You know, we have to remember our leadership, you know, Doc or Khalib or Caleb, you know, whatever you want to call him. You know, he was poisoned and he was killed because he was standing in the way, you know, of waking up the black community, you know, and mm-hmm. our basic rights. We can't even have a basic life, you know, because we have to fight for every inch, for the school, for the food, for the housing, you know. And the people sold out that get those education from the white man, you know. They become the modern day, you know, Uncle Toms. And so I was thinking of when I was in Fresno, and they were talking about, want to say this was a hate crime, where this skinhead white lady beat up this Indian lady. And they says, no, you know, and the only reason that a hate crime is now on the law and stuff like that is because Khalib had to pick up guns in Casper, Texas. You know what I mean? He had to pick up guns for 10 years later, and they still don't recognize it. Goes, there's no hate crime because they haven't reported, you know, them. They've been reported, but they don't document it, you know. So I think if we look within our own organization to keep the information and pass it on to the new people, the young people, so that they would know that there has been a unity, there has been people working together, and, you know, we just have to move forward. And I just, you know, feel just hurt. My heart hurts for seeing our people shot down in the street like that. You know, that's why he says, you know, don't ever see me with a gun because, you know, I'm going to shoot, you know. And, you know, peace and love. I just hope we move forward and continue and probably revive some of the situation, you know, because the people need help. All people of color need help against imperialism. Bidami, I should get on all my relations.
Pidami and Shukran, and that is correct analysis. I mean, I do want to report that, you know, like I say, that our people are working together on the ground. You know, you have those who say that you know, we'll never see you know, black unity or unity of people of color together, and I'm here to tell you that is incorrect. I don't know if that can be accurately stated at this point. Because our people, I'm talking about Christians, Muslims, I'm talking about Buddhists, I'm talking about Hebrews, I'm talking about people with just straight up African spirituality, period, and those who ain't got nothing, and those who just straight up off the streets, the lower class, quote unquote, working class, everybody working together. I'm telling you what I'm witnessing on the ground on behalf of Michael Brown, but really just justice in general. And what I'm saying is that is threatening. See, that's when National Guard is called out. That's when, you know what I mean, that's when it gets tense. You have all of these people united, all of these different faiths and spiritualities and backgrounds united on a common cause. That's when it gets serious. You know what I mean? So it is a beautiful time. It's a critical time, but it's a beautiful time because we're shattering, people are shattering a whole bunch of stereotypes in 2014. A whole bunch of stuff that people thought would never happen is happening. People thought that, you know, this type of mass response would never happen. You know, I know I used to hear it all the time, you know, just a week ago, the people are too dead. They won't respond. They won't do anything. They won't do this and do that. And now you have a whole mass movement, a mass movement that has reached, I've seen signs all the way around to Palestine and all around the world. People have shown their love and support from right there in Missouri and right here in North America. So that just shows you the power of actualizing a movement and organization. I do want to make sure that I tell you that if you are not on the ground in Ferguson, and you can be on the ground to assist, you know, in whatever way that you can assist, you should be on the ground making your way in, especially New Black Panthers. If you have not touched what they call ground zero there, if you are not, you know, on ground zero in Ferguson there, and, something is wrong with you. You may want to make sure you really want to be a New Black Panther. You cannot be a New Black Panther in particular and see this kind of situation and not be here to serve and, you know, really protect your people, not what the police talking about, in a real way. And so to New Black Panthers, you make sure you make your way right to Ferguson, Missouri, and make sure that you help keep our people, you know, out of harm's way and help our people to organize and get justice for Michael Brown. Let me take another call here. Area code 347-768. 347-768. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the destruction of African civilization in Ferguson. Your thoughts, your questions, your comment. Please welcome Black Power. Your mic is open. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mike from earlier. I got cut off. I don't know what the reason was. But, as I was saying earlier, we asked me about how I felt about the Trayvon Martin case. I was actually in Florida when that happened, and I went to the rallies. But just like that situation where we got stereotyped, us, like that has to change. Because even though, like, as a black people, we're known to be loud and boisterous, but we're not the only group that's like that. And it's only a few out of many of us that are like that. But that's what they see when they see us on TV, like you said in the videos and everything. But at the same time, we gotta show them the other side of us, and get the young brothers to embrace the other side of them. Because believe it or not, These youth that's angry and mad and seem so violent, they some of the kindest people you could ever meet, but you won't know that until you talk to them or bring it out of them or get them comfortable with themselves and with everybody else to let out.
Okay, so you saying you got to get them into a different environment.
No, no. The environment is gonna be what it is. We just gotta make them comfortable being that way. Like a group of guys might get together, and while they with themselves, they laugh and joke, and they the kindness they gonna give to their brother within that group. What I want them to do is not only help themselves, but help those they don't know. Not like financially or anything like that, but it might be a simple ride or something to eat if you're hungry or whatever the case may be, or a good morning. Because I came from Florida actually and you say good morning to somebody, and they smile and say it back. Up here in New York, you say good morning to somebody, and like you crazy.
Right, right, right.
It's like that's the mentality of us. Thinking that everybody's out to get you.
Yeah, it's a different culture, brother. But you know, in different areas, and people do have different flavors. But it is very important what you're saying, in terms of putting the culture back in the people. But what I'm here to tell you, what I'm witnessing in Ferguson, Missouri, is exactly what you're talking about. Our people. Embracing their culture, putting their differences to the side. This
yeah.
this type of issue has brought them together, and brought us together as a people. And so what I'm saying is that is a spark of light that must be embraced, you know, that must be embraced and understood, because that is something that most say cannot be done. Most have said that the Bloods, the Crips, the Young, and all this, that they cannot be reached. That they won't be reached, and I'm telling you with my own eyes, I'm seeing and hearing brothers and sisters saying enough is enough. We are ready to make a stand. Michael Brown, for them, is the guy that bent the camera's back. You know what I mean? So it's possible. And what I'm saying is, if those conditions are ripe in St. Louis, Missouri, or Ferguson, Missouri. And the same conditions are there for New York City. The same conditions are there, you know, in Florida. The same conditions are there in California. It's all about actualizing the conditions and organizing in the proper way. And so, you know, we want these young brothers and sisters to be able to organize in a fashion, you know, mm-hmm. that will bring about the kind of results that they need for the long term. But let me be clear, I am not mad at any of them young brothers and sisters out there fighting.
Yeah.
I have no anger whatsoever, or no kind of feeling about them out there fighting, and us being out there fighting as a people for the rights and justice of our people. None at all.
But that just gave me an idea. See, brothers, when stories happen like this, brothers actually want to come together, and it's a bad thing, but now it becomes a positive, because now brothers want to stand together and stand up to this and grow with each other. But
right.
The thing about that is, they have no way to get together. What I'm gonna work on is getting somewhere where brothers could communicate with others and unite, like
that's
like a, almost like a social
that's what we need.
Social network for a specific reason like that.
That's what we need, brother. Like I say, let's work together in New York. We need all the help we can get in New York, and need to build up a strong movement to do just that in New York. So you know, call that national number, man, so we can work together and do what you're talking
yeah,
about. All right, brother. Appreciate your comment. I got to take the next call here.
Appreciate you too. Okay. Black power.
All right, Black power. Let's, brothers and sisters, let us bring on our national chairman, and this is a man who many of you all saw. Take over the Ferguson Police Chief's press conference. I mean, just bum rush the damn show, bum rush the press conference, and he's been organizing. Even more so than that, he's been on the ground organizing. He's been demonstrating. He's been leading. He's been taking charge, and he's been traveling, doing all kind of stuff to keep this focal point of justice alive. So we want to hear what he has to say. This is the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is the General Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, Brother Chairman. Can you hear me? You on, sir?
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Well, right first ahead, of all, you have had one explosive show. And I'm here to tell you the world is listening to this show tonight. And we
yes,
can't
sir.
Sell the world. And we can't sell the world short. This is a very, 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 very critical hour in Africans' history in this country called America. And we have to understand clearly what's going on before our eyes. We got to understand now wisdom and knowledge is very powerful in this moment. not emotions, not the Monday night quarterbacks, but wisdom and knowledge had to be on the forefront in this hour. We, as a African people in this country, since the so-called 1619 landing of the 20 slaves in Jamestown, Virginia, have been catching hell. But long before 1619, a brother had to write a book called The Destruction of the African Civilization. And the key point in Chancellor Williams' awesome book, The Destruction of the African Civilization, the key points are, Brother Sean, how Belgian, the French, the British, the Anglo-Saxon, every type of white people in the world, the Portuguese, have went into Africa and divided the black man and the black woman just for the purpose of either taking over their thinking process, their religion, their culture, or taking over the most important thing in the African soil, the diamonds, the rubies, the pearls, the gold, the meat, the ores of the land for the riches, for the riches. And anywhere you look on the face of the earth where the white man exists, he's trying to start war. He's trying to keep you confused, because war is a critical thing, because war is life or death. Ain't no in between. And every country in Africa, all 54 nations, to bring on black holocausts. And he's been affected in many of them. Tragedies. Not only through war, through disease that he creates in his labs right here in America. He's a wicked bastard. And he's an expert at what he does to our people. He does it in his sleep. So in this hour, we who know have to be wise in what we say and do and what we instruct our people to do. And as you found out very quickly, Brother Shaw, which we've been knowing for 25 years in the New Black Panther Party, ever since Hoover set up Fred Hampton Jr. and Mark Clark, ever since he set up against Dr. Karenga out in L.A., ever since he set up and Huey Newton split, ever since he set up the camp of Martin Luther King to be at odds, ever since he set up Marcus Garvey, ever since he set up Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad, ever since his hidden hand has set up the destruction of the African here in America, the FBI has never changed their tactics. COINTELPRO is alive and well. But what we need our people to watch in this hour is all of a sudden in Missouri, we got white militias showing up, saying they want to help us. I say to all African people, open your damn eyes. And you show me one time in history where the white man meant the black man good. Let's break this down, Brother Sean, to the lowest denominator. For our people can clearly see the storm and through the storm. We don't have to wait on this one. We saw this one before. Clear in what I'm about to say. Ever since George Washington in 1776 had his so-called Tea Party and became the general and the first president of the United States and enslaved black people right there at the White House. Right before our eyes, George Washington had slaves. Benjamin Franklin had slaves. The British said the British are coming. A British name running with a left, hollering the British are coming. The British were fighting each other. Right now in the state of Texas, where George Bush became president of the United States, there's a governor named Perry who's been indicted. And he's been indicted by Eric Holder. because your militia groups come from is when a Perry get taken out of office as governor, don't get to run for president. They got a lot at stake on Wall Street. They got a lot at stake in the oil companies. They're not like us. This capitalistic society, the majority of American history, has been ran by the white male Anglo-Saxon. And they, for 400 years while they enslaved us, they got the deeds to the land. And Malcolm told us the only way you can have independence, you got to be the landowner. You got to be the landlord, not the renter. So in America are renters. So what happens on the Perry level, when a Perry get knocked out of office with all his support, all his money, and the George Bush family behind him, he get knocked out of office, he gets bitter. And they feed these militia groups that so-called are anti-American. But wherever you see army tanks, wherever you see gas being blown on people, wherever you see dogs being sicked on people, wherever you see fire hoses being sicked on people, they're always people of color. Now, these crackers just went across this nation a couple of years ago with what they call the Wall Street occupation, where they were really attacking the real thieves, and that's the capitalistic sucking, blood-sucking white man of Wall Street. That's the Rockefellers and all the rest of those boys. Right here in Atlanta, a black man named Kasheem Reed let those crackers stay in the middle of Atlanta with that Wall Street occupation for 3-4 months. No dogs, no water hoses, no National Guards, no military police. Matter of fact, they made it easy for them in every city. But they murdered a black man. And a black man ain't in the streets a day before dogs, army tanks, and blood is running in the streets. A white man is attacking Iraq. As long as the right man is attacking in Afghanistan or Somalia or Libya, as long as the white man is attacking on African or black soil, they will set up camp and they will let the bombs and they will let the tear gas and they will let the military and the planes and the damn unmanned planes kill black women, children, and babies all over the world. Make it plain, brother. I say make it plain so the people can understand what you're trying to say. Okay, I will. As long as they're in the black part of town in Missouri, the white man will come and feed the fire so the National Guards will follow him, and then he will leave town at midnight and leave the National Guards killing black women, children, and babies. And you would have some of these ignorant Negroes who don't understand what's going on supporting his cause and patting him on the back and say he's coming to help us. No, I'd rather differ with you. What he's coming to do is make sure that we look like some damn fools and get our ass bombed and can't protect ourselves and get our women and children and babies killed. Then when it's over, the America that I know, like when they bombed the moons in Philadelphia, when they bombed Black Wall Street, when they attacked Rosewood, America I know goes back to business as usual. A five-star general is supposed to see things coming and have hindsight. So let's use some examples here. The Japanese bombed America in 1948. They bombed Pearl Harbor and a whole fleet of Navy ships. Am I right? Am I right?
Yes, sir. Keep teaching. Yes, sir.
But what happened? What happened with these Japanese? They bombed Pearl Harbor. They went to war with America. But when the let's stick with the facts. When the Japanese from Japan found out that this white man was a tricky devil and he started dropping atomic bombs on the women and the babies and the children of Japan, the Emperor of Japan knew he wasn't ready to face America.
So he signed. He stood down. Am I right? He stood down. Guess what the Japanese man doing in America right now? He runs America. Guess what the Chinese doing in America right now? He runs America. Why? He stood down and understood that he needed to wait. Hey, brother, one second. He needed to wait, and he needed to fight another day. Do you understand? Hold on one sec.
Yes, sir.
Take over, brother. Boo, the TV man here.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
brother, get set.
Okay. Now we're across the street.
Master Chairman of Black Panther Party. Yes, sir.
Brother Sean, are we there?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Let me finish this. Let me finish this when we get home.
What's up?
Give me 2 seconds. I'm on the radio.
All right. So I got a surgery.
Can you give me?
I got 2 of these.
2 seconds.
All right.
Brother Sean, I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of something. But I got to stick with this point. What I'm saying is wise people in history have studied America. You can't outbomb this man. You can't outkill this man. Because it's not in our nature to kill. It's not in our nature to bomb. It's in our nature to plow the field and plant the seed and watch things grow. It's our nature to heal the sick. It's our nature to see God's world bloom and the blue skies in the sun, man. The white man don't got a war going on. It drives him nuts. He'll start anything. Look at the police that deal with us. You run a stop sign, he come up to you. You swear you just robbed a bank and killed 17 people. That's in his nature. So in this hour, we got to be wise. I was on ground zero. I don't mind fighting a white man. I don't mind war. I was built for it. The wise generals never lead their people to slaughter, man. What I found out on the grounds in Missouri, tactics first to let the sheriff and these disqualified white men use military force, not knowing what the hell they was doing. Then they pull them out, and they bring the governor in, and then they bring the state highway patrol in, and they bring this Negro in and act like he's some hero, and he's taking this damn Hollywood role, and he thinks he's in Hollywood doing some damn movie, and it ain't no damn movie, man. If it wasn't for us, the Negro wouldn't have been able to come down to that QT and wouldn't have been able to leave. Them young brothers in the street started chunking damn bottles and rocks at his goddamn car and was going to rock his ass out of there. So then the governor said, okay, that didn't work. So they sent the military back in, pull them out again. Then they're going to say that didn't work. When I say military, I'm talking about the police military, because they finna send the real National Guards in their necks. But they got us surrounded. And we don't have enough manpower nor strategies to save our neighborhood and save our people, man. And so the white man, the militias, want to come in and act like they're on our side to stir it up, because they live in Seattle, Washington, and Wyoming, and Nevada. They're getting the hell out of there when it gets hot. Leave it for our babies and our children. But what has happened, which I am a five-star general and I'm glad to see, we've been preaching on this radio show for 3 or 4 years that America was militarizing its police department for us. So let's come with some solutions, and let's get some out of this mess. And this is what I say to you today, Brother Sean. The first thing in Ferguson is 90-something or 78% black. We got enough blacks angry enough now to go and get this goddamn white mayor out of office. We can get enough signatures right now with a recall and get him out of office, put a black mayor in. Then the mayor hires the police chief. We can fire that goddamn police chief, hire a black police chief, They got 53 police in that city. 50 of them are white, 3 are black. We can change that overnight. That'll be a victory. Second, after that, Attorney Malik Nuluchi-Barnes is on the ground with black lawyers suggested. Every black person that's been hit with a canister, every black person that had any of their constitutional rights broken, every black people that has been arrested, every black person that has been put in jail or sent to the hospital on a class action lawsuit that city cannot hold, we're going to break that goddamn city when they write the check to these people, our people. Third, now we know that the New Black Panther Party and the leadership of the New Black Panther Party have been telling the truth on Black Power Radio that they've been waiting and painting these little military machines and putting police on them so they can start surrounding our communities in every city. They really wanted to start it and kick off in Missouri first. And we know our people are not ready for that kind of equipment. So the first thing we need to do is start boycotting every city and go by the masses to every city council meeting in every black city and every white city. And when they're trying to put that $20 and that $50 million up to buy military equipment, vote it down. And you move that goddamn money to boys clubs and YMCAs and tutoring places and green parks for our children. Vote it down. It's your damn money. They buying this military equipment, then attacking you with it. Are you out of your mind? Get active in your city. Get active in your cities right now. Just like when Zimmerman shot Trayvon, we found out what's stand your ground, we start voting it down. Now you goddamn go get your refund on this military equipment, and you tell them to send that shit back to the Vice President of the United States of old, who companies built that equipment and overbuilt it, and then shoving it down your damn throat. Brother Sean, we got to do a part two. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Take over, Brother Sean. I got to go. Black power.
All right, black power, Brother Chairman. Brothers and sisters, that has been the voice of your national chairman, our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. And we're correct. We want justice in general for black people. And we stand with the family of Brother Michael Brown. We ask that you keep supporting. Keep supporting us and keep supporting the family. For those who are interested in helping the movement, call 347-903-0886. Again, 347-903-0886. Or go to newblackpanther.com. Again, 347-903-0886 or newblackpanther.com. We keep the family in our salutations and our prayers, and keep the people of Ferguson, Missouri in our prayers and salutations. We say organize smart and be smart. We must have black power for black people and power to our people. Remember that. Black power for black people and power to our people. And remember this. If black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Thank you. Stay strong. Hustle hard.
I do it.